The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, you're listening to My Mate Bought a Toaster. My name's Tom Price, and joining us today, we have the broadcaster. Jamie, I'm going to chuck that in there.
Please put that. I mean, broadcasting first at the top of the list because it pays more. Okay. For a start. So if people think that that's the number one thing I do, rather than the byproduct of everything else, then over the
course of this episode, we're going to find out exactly how much you're earning because we're looking deep into your Amazon history. So by the end of this, we're going to be like, whoa, broadcasting's doing good dollar at the moment.
Broadcasting is selling a lot of tent pegs.
To work in the media. So, but you do all sorts, Jamie. Broadcaster, writer, you've worked in TV.
It's the gig economy. I've become so unemployable that all I can do is as much across as many different genres and mediums as possible.
Yeah. It's a good way to be.
Is it though?
No, because you never slow down. You feel like an Uber driver who's also a plumber and a paramedic.
Exactly that. But actually terrifying.
For very unimportant things. Because that's the problem with doing what we do.
Because no one gives a flying crap.
Because I'm similar. I'm definitely not as successful as you, but just in terms of a gob for hire, it's what I do.
If I stop doing
this,
no one's going to. No one will notice. No, exactly. Exactly.
Including your family.
Well, no, precisely. And often they will that to happen.
Let's find out more about you. Okay. Let's find out more about the enigmatic Jamie East, who joins us on this week's My Mate Bought a Toaster.
This feels like the most exposing thing I've ever done in my life.
Cariad Lloyd came on and compared this to having a sweep before she gave birth.
I've been in the room when those have happened. They are deep.
Well, this is a almost financial, if you like, a digital version of
that. Sweep my digital cervix, please.
So I'm currently lubing up. Again, Samantha Baines should be here this week. She's on holiday. She's not here. She would have jumped on that and she'd have told us horrible, misogynistic men.
Well,
blah.
Yeah, which we are, clearly.
Yeah, she's on holiday, isn't she? So fuck screw her. And we're going to go back, Jamie East. The first thing you ever bought on Amazon.
Oh, my God.
You didn't realise this, because just before we started, before I started recording, I wish I'd recorded this, you were going, oh, I'm slightly worried about the last few things I bought.
I thought it was the last five things. And I was like, oh, man, because the last five things are all to do with like my second son's 21st birthday party this Saturday.
Well, this is amazing. So your second son is 21 years old.
Yeah.
All right. So that gives us that's the perfect end point as your son becomes an adult. Let's go back to your first order.
Oh, my God.
2001.
Wow.
Yes.
That makes me really old.
So what is going on with Jamie East?
I'm a digital pioneer.
Yeah, exactly. You were out there, man. You were in the wild west of internet shopping in the days where our cards were almost certainly cloned just for going onto Amazon.
I've got no idea what it was.
Oh, I can tell you what you got if you like. This is brilliant. What were you doing with your life in late 2001?
2001, quite dark times. That was actually 2001... And not so dark. That was just before I invented Holy Moly. I say invented Holy Moly, just before I started Holy Moly.
Yes.
So 2001.
That was the gossip website.
The gossip website that I started, which you know, trying to explain a gossip website to a kid nowadays is impossible.
No.
But 2001, I think I would have been working at Sky Television.
Okay. Doing what? Presenting?
Right. So get this. You say the gig economy, master of all trades.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
Along with a very small team of about five people, built the UK's first 3G streaming video platform.
No.
With my bare hands.
With like wood and nails?
With wood, nails and wires, yeah.
What?
At Sky, yeah.
So what internet was it using then? So in 2001, weren't on dial-up still. We were broadband.
ISDN was pretty sexy at the time.
Okay, yeah. So I still love it.
Yeah. So that was... That was about the height, you know. So you were
streaming Sky content.
Yeah. So Sky had done these deals with like Three Mobile and stuff. It's about how can we get MTV or Sky One onto that? And at the time, all we could do was like loop stuff.
Well, that explains perfectly why on the 20th of November 2001, you bought a wizard dress-up chest. Doesn't it? That tells you why you've done that. Because you're at Sky. Clearly, you need to have a wizard dress-up chest.
Was that the first thing I bought on Amazon?
1999, you bought that. And you paid some delivery as well. That's what happened back in the day. This is pre-Prime, man. We're going back in time. A time before Prime.
Holy moly.
That's the name of the website.
Quite literally. What a circle of events, because that would have been for the son that is now... 21.
Should we put some sad music under this and you can feel, get be. Slightly mournful?
Yeah,
and...
that is, wow, that makes me feel dreadfully old.
I'm sorry to do that, but
my
time
wife,
will do that to you.
My wife almost certainly will still have that somewhere and will have refused to have let me throw that out.
Oh, she's the hoarder, is she?
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's always one hoarder in every relationship. I'm the hoarder in our relationship. My wife is just, she would literally bin one of our children by mistake.
I dream of clean lines and
yes,
kind
I see.
Of
okay.
just space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Open plan, this whole building.
I live in an open plan house.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's, well, it is. If,
it's
if
open plan.
If one of you isn't a massive hoarder.
Yes, yeah, so someone walks in. It's quite fun calling your wife a hoarder, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah. Because it nearly sounds
you
like filth,
oh. You filthy hoarder.
So we've got a wizard dress-up chest in which you can obviously hoard away
yeah.
All sorts of costumes. What else did you buy on the 9th of November 2001? So actually the very first thing you bought
right.
on Amazon
okay.
was Spider-Man 2 Enter Electro. This is for the PlayStation.
Wow.
Kids.
Amazing.
That's like...
okay, that would have been... for when was that? 2001?
Yeah, yeah, 2001. Yeah. So
wow.
that is nearly 18 years ago.
Yeah, that would have almost certainly been for me.
That's an entire adult away.
Yeah.
That is. An entire adult ago.
That's
you bought,
awful.
Spider-Man 2. But at this point, did you have kids then? You did.
Yeah, I had two kids.
You had two kids and you're buying computer games. How the fuck did you get away with that?
Well, because, I mean, it sounds really weird. I mean, all I can remember about that kind of time is the fact that there was no... We didn't have... Even though we didn't really have satellite TV. Mm-hmm. I think I was living in a flat in our first flat in Isleworth at the time.
Okay.
We weren't allowed to have a Sky dish. So right. at which point... So by that point, there was no TV after whatever time it was until 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Our youngest, who's just about to turn 21, was a god-awful sleeper and would wake up at 4:45 every single morning, good to go.
That's where we've been at for the last 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Horrendous, yeah, yeah.
So you need, as a human, to find ways of entertaining yourself, otherwise you would literally go mad.
Pretending because, to be Spider-Man, because, or dressing up as a wizard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The wizard thing is for you, right? Not the
yeah,
kids.
Abso-flippin-lutely. So that would have certainly been... for me and my wife to play whilst we were with a baby.
I see. Now, that's interesting, because my gender stereotyping brain was thinking, oh, who's the bloke playing computer games?
No.
Why doesn't
no,
play?
No.
So she's into them as well.
Oh, she went, we used to live next door to one of the original coders and testers for Tomb Raider in Derby. So we got, like, an advanced copy of Tomb Raider 2
yeah.
On PS1 when... that particular child was about 6 weeks old. So right. that got us through the first 6 months of his life. Was lunacy. Staying up till like 6 a.m, trying to do one leap over a cliff for weeks and weeks and weeks with no
right.
cheats. There were no... If you wanted to cheat or get a walkthrough, you didn't Google... You couldn't Google
it. No, it's
anything.
Not available,
you had
though.
To phone a premium phone line at 80p a minute and then
wow.
listen to the entire walkthrough. It's
so
nuts.
If your walkthrough was
near
know,
the end...
Near the end, you've
oh,
got to
yeah.
spend
you'd
the,
be
the cost of the game.
Yeah, and you'd miss it and then think, shit, I've got to call it again. Yeah.
That is fantastic. So I've just got this image that you and your wife are sort of doing a train spotting, but instead of a heroine, it's just Spider-Man.
Just mainlining Lara Croft.
All right, okay, let's leap into 2002 now. Oh, some great things. I don't want to embarrass you, but you've bought Love Is Here by Star Sailor twice. So
I bought that twice.
I fucking hated Star Sailor.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would have been my wife, absolutely.
Don't you know you've got your daddy's eyes?
Four to the floor.
They were like an even more annoying Keen, weren't they? There was a real drabness.
Yeah, there was a dark point for, well, clearly my life and for music in general, I think. They've not aged well at all. What was their big hit? Daddy was an alcoholic.
Yeah, Daddy was an alcoholic and Four to the Floor and then the end, that's it. So not a one-hit wonder, sure. But they've also started doing the thing where they pop up at festivals and you're like, mate, that is a fucking downer at a festival.
If I remember, he was a real pretty boy as well. I think my wife had a bit of a thing for the lead singer of Star Sailor.
Well, that's fair enough. You had Tomb Raider, didn't you?
Yeah.
You could watch her.
And I think, yeah, we saw him at a festival and I did the classic kind of like, you chose wisely, my dear.
April 2002, the 9th of April 2002. Oh, Jamie, these are...
Oh, it's going to be... I'm almost certain that this was the family account for a long time.
Sure. Yeah. Well, okay, I don't know which member of your family was buying a P
PHP, your visual blueprint for creating open source server-side content.
That was me slap bang in the middle of building Holy Moly.
There you, so this is you building your website.
£60
You're building the Jamie East Empire. At this point.
So that was it. So I was heavily into kind of coding, but at the time, I mean, this is going to be so god awful boring for anyone that doesn't know anything about coding. HTML is like the basic of basics where you build a website. PHP was how you build message boards,
right?
And anything interactive. So that was, I had to learn how to do that in order to build it.
Do you still use any of those skills?
No, absolutely. I mean, not. It felt quite fast moving back then. That's nothing compared to how it is now. I think once apps came involved was when me and coding parted ways.
It was a very sad parting.
Extraordinarily complicated, and you know what I mean. It's like there's a point in adulthood where you try and play a PlayStation game and you realise you just don't have the motor functions to move that quickly.
Oh my god!
It's like Call of Duty. True. I think was the first time I realised that, where I can't aim fast enough.
No, I know.
I need time to prep it. And by which time I'm dead.
On Call of Duty, you get those guns that automatically aim. You know, okay, every now and again you get the gun that just goes straight to the person.
Yeah.
So you don't have to move it to aim.
But my kids it's like that was when I realised that I was the dad.
Rather than you're getting older. That's a good
not being one. Able to shoot your kids in Call of Duty.
All right, so that's 2002, and Holy Moly is now up and running. Is it by 2002?
It would have just started to have been. Yeah.
Going into 2003, quite a quiet year for you. Again, we've gone Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Angel of Darkness, now on the PS2.
There we go. We've upgraded.
Your wife and you just bonding over Lara Croft there. PS2, I mean, still got the PS2, or is that long since left your life?
It's long since gone, but I remember the PS2, I think, was the first big device launch that really gripped us all.
It was
insane. And Sky, I was still working at Sky a little bit at the time.
Right.
And I remember vividly that Sky had their own shop, like an online store, very early kind of...
Sky Store is the thing now,
it was called,
isn't it?
Back then, Sky Store was where you could buy hardware, so you could buy stuff. They had... Remember there was a shortage of PS2s?
Oh, yeah.
So
created by Sony. Oops.
Yeah. So Sky had like a designated number of PS2s, I think about 100 for Sky Store.
Right.
All the execs bought them for themselves.
That is... Wow.
Absolutely true.
But presumably your NDA is now expired from working at Sky, so you can now tell the world.
Worse than that, one of them was my father.
Oh, that is the nepotism.
Worse
going
than,
on
yeah, but
there.
The reverse nepotism of
terrible.
That. The reverse nepotism of that is he knew how much I wanted a PS2, yeah? So he knew how much I wanted one.
Yeah.
He phoned me up in the building I was working in, because that's where they were being stored, asked me if I would go down and grab the two that he had bought for him to give to his by my half-brothers and sisters for their Christmas presents.
No. Oh, my God. Have you talked to a therapist about this?
No, it's all racking up. It's all being racked up.
Daddy's got a PlayStation 2.
Exactly. Yeah.
Come on, Star, say that. Sing about it. Wow, that is... Hot. So the blended family thing, so the stepkids who clearly he loved more than you. That's okay.
It's fine. We've dealt with it. We've moved on.
It's a very immediate form of feedback from your father, isn't
that
it?
That really stung.
Fuck you, Daddy. All right, okay, so sad times, 2003. Only four orders placed in that year. It's a quiet year.
Oh, okay.
There's Lara Croft. There's Samuel Pepys, The Unequalled Self, Claire Tomlin. We all read that, didn't we, and pretended to enjoy it.
Wow, why the hell did I buy that?
I don't know. It's a story of Samuel Pepys.
I think that might have been... I've got
that Mrs. East?
I don't know why that was bought.
But also in the same batch, you bought The Dirt, Confessions of the World's Most Notorious Rock Band, Motley Crue.
What a great book.
What a great book. So I like the idea that you get that book, but you put it inside Samuel Pepys.
Yeah, yeah.
Himself, and you're on the tube going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Doth thou a sausage?
great Samuel Pepys riffing there from Jamie East. All right, let's leap on through now. I'm just going to jump because we're in 2003. Okay. We've got a lot of years to get through.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to 2007. It's an arbitrary year. Maybe I'm missing gold. Let's have a look what's going on in 2007. Some great stuff, a lot of TV, a lot of video. We've got...
I think this might have been about the year that children started wanting their own independence a little bit in their bedrooms.
I see,
Maybe their own gaming, monitors.
I can see that Holy Moly Productions have started buying stuff. Clever.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Taxman.
Yeah, hello.
I didn't know that Holy Moly needed to research Philip Pullman, his Dark Materials.
did Holy Moly Productions buy that? Yeah.
Very much so. Well, you know, of course, yep.
Bad Wolf nipped us to the post, beat us to the post for the rights, sadly, for the TV. We tried.
Yeah, Bad Wolf will do that.
Lyra has been evasive my entire adult life.
You also bought two Sony alarm clocks there. Sony ICFC218S's clock radio.
Children would. What year was that? 2007?
2007, yeah. So how old are your kids at this point now?
Ah, goodness me. 1993, 2003. Yeah, we were into teenagers slash... So my eldest would have been 14 then.
Right, okay. And your youngest?
My youngest would have been about 10 or 11.
So. Right, so you're really struggling two different childhood eras at that point.
We would have had a third, but we'd have had a two-year-old then as well. So that would have been very much right. The elders need to start sorting their own shit out.
Yeah,
an alarm clock. Mm. You deal with getting up for school because I've been up all night with two-year-old, blah, blah, blah.
When you say the elders, do you mean the Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion for the PS3, which you bought on 18th of November 2007?
18th of November, that would have been us getting ready for the 1st of December, which is my eldest's birthday. So the Elder Scrolls...
There you go.
Elder Scrolls was very much part of his life.
Elder Scrolls for the eldest. Again, bought by Holy Moly Productions Limited. Well, thanks, Dad!
It's all deductible.
Oh, love it. Did you do what your dad did? Did you buy him the game and then just pass it in front of his face and then give it to some of your other children? Here you go. That'll teach him.
Yeah.
But Holy Moly Productions, so you've still got it at this point. You're doing that.
It's 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would have... that point...
Are we peak Moly at this point?
That was probably peak Moly, yeah. That would have been about the time... Yeah, that would have been at its most popular. I think I may have sold it for the first time then. I sold it to Len Blavatnik.
Oh, yeah. How is Len?
The Russian...
What are you talking about?
The Russian oligarch who owns Warner Brothers and at the time owned a company called Perform, who bought 50% of Holy Moly. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that selling your business? That must be really cool.
It's not as cool as it... Well, actually, it's not cool at all. It's good fun.
Right.
Because ultimately, you're going to make a few quid off the back of it and also share some of the burden with someone who clearly knows more about business than you do.
Oh, Len knows a lot about business.
There's a lot about business. But then... It's, you know, then you realise that other people have got a say over what your business does, and that's,
you then have bosses. You basically you get lots of money or some money, but
you get some money. It's never as much as you think because obviously, here's the thing.
Okay.
When you want to sell your business, you clearly only want to do it because you want to make some money out of your business
and not have to work anymore.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Whereas people who are buying your business think that you want to sell your business to invest back into your business. So inevitably, you just want to take the money and literally never work again. Absolutely. Sadly, you know, for weird reasons, never really allowed to do that. You're supposed to reinvest the money back into the company.
But they're literally buying you, aren't they?
They are, which was also a problem.
Because there was no 30-day like cooling off period.
They the 30 days is 2 years. So
there's no John Lewis guarantee.
You are stuck in it for 2 years, regardless of, you know, if you know, so whether or not you're going to earn money or buy it, you know, there's all this kind of stuff.
But luckily, I got
with them very well, but on a business point of view, it didn't work out particularly.
You're making money from a website that's not porn, so that's impressive in 2007.
Well, that was debatable, but
there was some pretty saucy stuff.
SEO would have said otherwise.
But what else are you doing at this point? Is that taking up all your time? At what point do you become Jamie East, he's on telly?
When I sold Holy Moly for the second and last time to Endemol, that was when that kind of weird transition made. I wasn't really ever looking for it. But the story was that I'd just done a deal with Endemol to sell after I bought it back off Len because that wasn't working out. So I bought it off.
You had to buy it back off him.
For a quid.
You
buy it off for a quid and then they...
I'd have gone halves with you on that.
And then they write off the debt
and
all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
And because they, very boring reasons, which I probably shouldn't be talking about. And then Endemol were interested in doing a similar deal, but they were probably a bit better position to kind of work on that. So I sold...
Did you sell it to them for 2 quid?
I sold it to them for not for 2 quid. So that worked out quite well. Yeah. And they're a really good bunch of lads
and
ladies.
Yeah.
But part of that deal was that then I was part of the Endemol family, and one of the other things that were part of the Endemol family was Big Brother. So there was some good synergy, as they like to say.
Oh, great use of the word synergy. Lovely.
In the fact that Big Brother was just about to launch on Channel 5. They just bought this kind of famous celebrity gossip website. So we were able to kind of promote Big Brother being relaunched.
Right place, right time.
Exactly.
A little sprinkling of nepotism.
And also Matt Edmondson had just, who I gave, I think I gave his first ish kind of TV job to, or proper job. So he made
2007. He must have been about 14.
I think he's only about 19 now.
God, he looks
so he became skin. he was obviously brilliant and created a great reputation off the back of Holy Moly, and also him being clearly fantastic, and got his job on Radio 1 off. You know,
off he went.
So off he went, and there was no one to do the video. So I ended up doing the video, and the rest is very, very, very minor history.
I mean, really niche history. So yeah, other 2009, you bought Terminator Salvation. Sorry to see that. Take That, Present the Circus Live, a live DVD of Take That.
That would have been for the son that is just about to turn 21.
Fan of the That?
He was I mean, we're all fans of the That. He was a particularly big fan of that. We bought him that because we were supposed to take him to the Wembley Stadium circus gig. And just as we were turning the corner to leave the house, he threw up over the back seat.
Oh, mate.
So we did what any good parents would do, which was we immediately dumped him back at the house on his own and then continued to drive to Wembley.
No!
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. It's the PlayStation 2 being sort of drifting past your eyes again.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Take That as well. Buying a Take That DVD on Amazon, that is double tax evasion happening right there.
It is, isn't it?
It's well done. Nothing's going into the coffers then. I can't kiss them away.
Love you, buddy, baby, and I want you for the rest of my day. Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way. You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway because I think it's brilliant.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat.
Find us on Twitter at Always There Pod.
Let's go ahead. Let's skip ahead now. This is what's so strange. Like, part of my brain's looking at
all I'm thinking about throughout this podcast is have I ever bought a dildo on Amazon?
Well, this is what we're going to find. Yasmin Akram, she did episode 4. Mostly dildos. Wonderful.
Was it?
Yeah, it's great. But that, you know, that's why it's great.
Do they wear out?
Well, this is what happens. Samantha Baines then bought the dildo that Yasmin used and then reported back on it because it had a red tip that heated up, apparently. I know, it feels a bit sort of Chernobyl. Do you know what I mean? Like the rods.
Wow, that is a bit kind of Homer Simpson kind of like, with the green bar that lands on the checkout.
Homer Simpson going, that is my orgasm face, actually. That is kind of, that's what happened. Let's crack on through to 2011. And we've got six dinosaur tattoos for £3.
Why wouldn't you?
Why would you not get those?
This was probably before I had any tattoos.
It's incredible. Look at
now covered. So that's probably when I was at stage of probably, I don't know, putting fake tattoos on just to look hard.
Why did you suddenly get tatted up then? That's quite late in life.
I think I'd always wanted them. It's just it's the cliche. You do get to a point where you just think, fuck everyone else.
I'm gonna do what I need to do to my upper arms.
Well, you realise that actually you can just do whatever you want.
Can I get a tattoo? I'm not sure I can.
Yeah, anyone can get a tattoo. They're great. They're very liberating.
Really?
Yeah. But it's true, once you get one you will not get another.
Why is that?
Because the pain is so trippy. You do go through this kind of weird tribal thing. You do zone out. So the small ones, you know, just feel a bit like, oof, Christ, that's a bit ouch.
So there's a bee on your bicep there.
There's Arya Stark's needle there on my bicep as well, which was done to celebrate on the day of the last episode of Game of Thrones.
You are a proper nerd. I love it. Good on you, man.
That was the first proper big one I had done. That's the cover of The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway, which is a real wanky thing to get as your first tattoo. But then I've got a great big kind of like weirdly I don't really talk about this one much because it's, I don't think it's particularly PC. It's an Indian headdress, so it's a proper appropriation of culture.
You're culturally appropriated.
On a big white man's shoulder.
Sure, that's fine. They're okay with that.
That was 14 hours from start to finish.
14 hours?
Yeah, non-stop.
Of just being slowly tortured.
Yeah, and you do zone out and go to this weird place that becomes quite addictive.
That's incredible. I love the knee. I love that you've got tattoos from your favourite TV show.
And I've got Keith Haring there as well. Big one there. So yeah, that you don't stop. So but I thoroughly recommend tattoos to everybody.
I'll get one of these dinosaur tattoos for £3. That works for me.
I mean, start with them.
That's not 14 hours, is it? That's a bit of water and a sponge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's amazing how much kids love those, though. We did those at my kid's his 7th birthday the other day.
But you can buy the sleeves now as well. They're just great. They're just like a pair of tights with the ends cut off that have basically got Amy Winehouse screen printed onto them.
Oh, God. Or, what, for a child?
Yeah.
lovely BTEC headphone amplifier. This is a lot of batteries as well.
Oh, so right. So the story here. So I know what's happening here in my life.
Yeah, go on.
What year was this?
So this is 2011.
So this is a band reunion. So before any of this started, I was in a band called The Beekeepers, and we were signed to Beggar's Banquet and had very mediocre success, but it was one of the most fun times of my life. We got to the, I think, top four indie charts or something.
Amazing.
And we were on MTV and the chart show and all that. And then in 2011, we decided to kind of do a one-off gig. And this would have been us kind of going, right, how did we do that? And working with samplers and click tracks and working out how to use new technology to replicate what at the time would have been incredibly old technology.
Right. So I'm sort of imagining musical cavemen looking at this digital
kit. The headphone amplifier would have been because, the drummer would have been quite a lot deafer than he was when in 1997.
Right, okay. So you were kind of a... Jesus, Jamie.
I've been quite busy.
What a checkered and busy... checkered sounds bad. Checkered always sounds like...
Well, no.
That's like a police record. Okay, fine. Yeah. No, I just... It's absolutely fascinating, all the different... The variation of things you've done.
Yeah.
But it's all creative, isn't it? This is the thing. People are always surprised by... Because I'm similar in a way. Not bands, but stand-up and acting and stuff. If you're creative and a loudmouth and a show-off...
We're show-offs. I mean, ultimately, that's all it is. It's feeling the necessity just to have to show off all the time,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the podcast, basically what we're doing.
It's just narcissism, isn't it?
Because barely controlled narcissism, yes.
Because we are just convinced that what we have to say on a subject or the way that we project certain things are better and more important than anyone else.
That's
basically how, at some point in our, I don't know, between the ages of 5 and 10, something twigged in our brains that said, you are better than everybody else.
What was that? That's so true.
And I'd love to know what it was in me.
The moment where I thought I was better than everybody else.
Because
that's what happens, that's what it is.
That is what we are
but
doing
then,
this for.
The problem with that is, and it's absolutely true, from 10 years onwards, you spend the rest of your life
realizing you're not. Yeah.
And that is quite
unless, true. Of course, you are. But the problem is that even at, how old are you?
38.
So you're 38, I'm 45. Yeah. Even at the age of 45, it's still going to happen. The rest of the world just hasn't quite caught up with me yet.
So that's what's going to happen is we're going to be on our deathbeds one day, Jamie.
Like, just you wait.
80, yeah. And we'll be literally, they'll be like, you've got an hour left to live.
But this
and
is
there'll
the
be
thing.
A call from our agent saying, do you want to go and do a podcast with Jamie East about, yes.
It's even worse than that. On our deathbeds, in the back of our mind, we will be thinking, I'm going to be one of those people whose genius is discovered after we are dead.
They're going to find the tapes of my podcasting.
We are Van Gogh.
Oh my God, that's exactly what happens. We're spending the whole
time trying to
convince. Do you know what I mean? So this band reunion in 2011.
And I know that's such a bullshit way of thinking.
We
and such an awful way of thinking. But you can,
wired.
But I cannot change it.
It's wired in. That
and
is
it's
so
an
true.
Awful, awful part of, it's all an awful personality trait.
I cannot wish enough that people listening to this, to the normal people who do not have this damage, who are just enjoying this because it's interesting and whatever.
It's they have borderline autism.
They have to understand how true that is. Yeah. Well, everything you've just said, that is me to a T.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe. And that's why you get the narcissistic tantrums when it doesn't happen. Because
you're like,
I don't understand how this is not happening. The worldview in my head is not happening in real life. I need to be 6 years old again.
People go, oh, you're so resilient. You keep bouncing back.
Oh, that's
and
not resilience.
It's like, no, it's not resilience. It's just other people are just stupid.
I'm just making them realise eventually they're going to twig. I want to know about this reunion in 2011.
Yeah.
When you did it. So now I'm thinking with what we've just said in mind.
Yeah.
In 2011, all the other bandmates like, this is a laugh, you know, it's nice to take a day off from being a teacher. You're thinking, where's the A&R they're going to sign us
well,
up?
Actually, no. Well, the thing was, by that time I was on telly. So I just started doing Big Brother. Yeah. So my kind of ego was being sated by that.
Yes.
And Holy Moly was still very much a decent part of British culture.
Are you saying you did Showing Off just for fun? Because that's not something I've ever done. I can't imagine.
So, well, no. It was... The band split quite acrimoniously.
Of course,
so there were scores to be settled. I think it was quite a nice redemptive exercise for us as mates and as humans to do, to kind of like let bygones be bygones, but also to show our hometown of Derby that we were still the best band to come out of Derby.
Best thing to come out of Derby.
God, I sound such a cunt.
Oh yeah, but that's fine. That's fine. A lovely cunt. That's okay. It's okay to be a lovely cunt.
Yeah.
The best music to come out of Derby since that guy who did
Jyoti.
I can never be the right kind of girl.
Jyoti Mishra, who was White Town, was really good friends with our guitarist Gary.
Right.
At the week that went number one, we had our second single out, and Jyoti was like a mate of the band's, but a particularly good friend of Gary, the guitarist. So Jyoti all of a sudden went from being the guy that used to just hang around the Blue Note nightclub on Sadlergate in a suit, to being the most coveted and sought after pop star. On the planet.
He was Ed Sheeran for about a week.
It went on for about 2 months. He ended up signing, I think, to Madonna's Maverick label in the States, blah, blah. So whilst we were kind of doing the circuit down in London for our second single, he was being coveted by and courted by every single A&R person in the country.
Yes.
So he came to see us at the Garage when we played. It was a huge deal.
That
he was there, and also because he was there, every other A&R guy. So by proxy, we were getting a bit of heat.
So were you manoeuring him towards the front of the stage? Saying, so the week, A&R would look at him.
Even better than that, the week that our second single came out was this, I think, either the week after or 2 weeks after Your Woman went to number one.
I could never be
Melody Maker wanted him to review the singles for that week. He said, okay, I'll do that, but I'm going to put my mates as single of the week in Melody Maker, which he did.
Oh my God.
Is that still
the best moment of your life?
Yeah. Is that tied with Jane Middlemas introducing the band on the chart show?
Jane Middlemas, the thinking man's Lauren Laverne. Absolutely adore her. So, Jamie East, website designer and seller, and broadcaster on Big Brother stuff, and turns out 90s rock phenomenon. I'm going to say phenomenon. You know.
Well, I mean, I do.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to leap into 2012 now, Jamie.
Okay.
And you've got Jack Reacher Book One, Killing Floor. Come on.
Thank you very
much. We've all got a little bit of Jack Reacher.
There would have almost certainly been a holiday involved in this.
Yeah, of course. That is an airport through and through. Yeah, well done. They're great books, though, right? Have you read them?
I mean, they are perfect holiday books. You know what you're getting. It's the same story every single time.
Without fail every single time.
It's the masculine Mills and Boone.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? And it's quite good therapy for the midlife crisis as well, because you can convince yourself that you
Well, he's are. Old in that. He's quite old. And you just think, well, if he can...
Yes.
If he can do that...
There's a chance I could kick someone
if I'm ever called upon.
Which could still happen. Could still happen. And that's going to be the motto of this whole podcast. Could still happen, Jamie.
This
is probably going to end up on telly. We're going to be co-presenting it. It could still happen.
Yeah.
Excellent. Holy Moly, they're buying some of their own merch. The Holy Moly Rules of Modern Life. Well, then you're buying your own book. That is a tradition on this podcast.
Do it. Listen, went number one on Amazon, mate.
Because you bought 6,000 copies of it. You spent £88,000.
That was the power of the internet newsletter, the email newsletter of the time.
Yeah.
I remember quite vividly sending the email out saying, hi, we've got a book out. Would you like to buy it? And the publishers just literally laying an egg because it went to number one within about 45 minutes. So the illustrations were done by my mate Ben. It was basically content just nicked off the website. Anyway, it took me the best part of 45 minutes to pull that book together.
Well, with your internet website building skills,
Savvy
Jamie.
With my PHP for Dummies. I mean, I think actually, you laugh. I did use some PHP scraping code to pull the content from the website into an Excel spreadsheet.
Lovely use of code. Yeah. That is the first use of code we've had on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then you flogged it. But that's the power of, and this is 2012, that's the beginning of the power of having your group of loyal followers. How many people were on that email list for Holy Moly?
Oh, there was nearly 250,000, I think.
Right.
Yeah, a lot.
You still got all those emails?
I have, yeah.
I'm sure DDPR are absolutely
fine.
Can't see any problems there. So look, and not that I'm trying to point towards any kind of midlife crisis, but in 2012, not only have we got Jack Reacher being bought in January 2012, we've also got the York DB4 dumbbell bench.
Well, there you go. I mean, this was... How old would I have been in 2012? I mean, I was nowhere near 40 then, so...
Yeah, but you've got kids and, you know...
How old am I now? 45? I was about 38, something like that then, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, the tattoos, motorbikes, dumbbell benches, the beard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's pretty tragic.
It's ticking all of the boxes. It's incredible.
There'll be a beard trimmer on there as well somewhere. There will be a Remington beard trimmer.
I'd love a good recommendation for a beard trimmer because my beard looks like...
Remington actually got in touch and tried to send me... like a load of new beard trimmers, and I just sent them all back and said, can you just send me some more of the ones that I've used for the past 20 years, because they keep breaking or the battery keeps going in them and they're a nightmare to find. They're the cheapest ones but the best.
What Remington are?
Well, the thing is, the grading system is different for every manufacturer for beards. The length, a number 6 on a Remington is very different from a number 6 on a Braun.
Of course it is.
Once you find your numbers, once you know you're a 4 or a 5 on the side, a 7 on the chin,
then it's easy. So I don't know that yet. And I shave bits off and I get these, it looks like there's, I've got alopecia on my neck or something goes wrong. So I end up going to the hairdressers every month to get this thing fixed.
Oh, no. Once you need to just find your comfort zone with your trimmer. And it then just it makes your life so much easier.
Thank you very much for the
The midlife crisis was an absolute big time tragedy, but it's something that happens to every single person.
It's writ large on your Amazon history. You can see it in 2013. December 2013, Spider-Man Web of Shadows for the PS3. When will you grow up, Jamie?
Spider-Man has been a heartbeat through the whole East family, and it's... Yeah.
That's a lovely way to describe it. It's been the heartbeat at the centre of my family. Okay, so that's 2013. And then we've got, let's just keep on it, 2015. We got December 2015, for some sneaky wipes. Anyone want to tell me what a sneaky wipe
is? What is a sneaky wipe?
A sneaky wipe. Let's have a look, shall we? Let's click on this. 12 cleaning wipes to keep your kicks looking fresh.
Stocking fillers for...
Shoe wipes.
For son number two, who's very fashion conscious.
Right.
I believe the correct term is crepes nowadays.
What, for shoes?
Yeah.
Instead of kicks, they're called
crepes now.
For God's sake.
So they would have been there. You know that annoying... In fact, I'm wearing a pair of crepes right now. Is that for those sole bits there?
Oh, I see.
So it's for kind of getting them back up to box fresh kind of level.
So you want them to be white and good looking?
The kids want them. The kids don't. I mean, I come from an age where I quite like the tatty look.
Yeah, that's kids the nowadays, 90s indie vibe. That's the grungy vibe.
There are how-to videos of how to get the creases out of your Nikes, you know, on the tops of the soles from just literally using them as shoes.
Yeah.
You steam them, you put a wet towel over them and hold an iron over it, and it gets rid of all the creases and makes them look like they're fresh out of the box.
I'm not going to do that. Why would you want anything to look fresh out of the box? Interesting, though, isn't it? In the 90s kind of vibes that we would come from.
Yeah, the kind of shambolic kind of Adidas kind of...
Shambolic and tatty. Yeah. I guess after the kind of neat, controlled explosion from the 80s, where everything was big, but sort of fine lines.
The whole kind
sharp.
Of acid jazz kind of Britpop era was very much kind of shabby chic.
Yeah. When I'm maintaining shabby chic because that works very well for my personality.
Well, it just saves time.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't have much of that. We are, in fact, running out of time today, Jamie. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to crash on through to 2019, which is also known as this year. Here we are, 2019. Okay, Jamie, we know that Spider-Man is the beating heart in your family life. I'm sure your wife would appreciate you summing up your family life.
Yeah.
Right, okay, good. And let's have a look, shall we? Let's see what's happened now, because the kids have grown up.
Yeah.
Of course you bought a faithful fiberglass club hammer.
Did I really? Let's have a look.
And a Helka brick bolster with grip. What on earth is that?
That's for taking tiles off the... I had to take some tiles off the bathroom. Okay. Are you like it when you hire kind of... people to come and do work for you.
Yeah.
Do you end up... It's a bit like when it's going to sound terribly kind of sexist.
Yeah.
Very much a thing where mothers and wives do this thing where if you agree to have a cleaner at the house, they will spend as long as the cleaner spends there tidying up for the cleaner to arrive.
It may well be terribly sexist, but
this is
entirely true.
This is my version of this, where I had a bathroom, people coming to do the bathroom, but for some reason, unbeknownst to me, I offered to take all the tiles off in the old bathroom for them to come and...
But you know they're not going to charge you any less because you've done the labour for them.
Exactly.
So you're doing that labour for no advantage at all.
Exactly. Well, I'm at a loss because I bought a fibreglass club hammer.
Yeah, but fibreglass club hammer is useful to keep.
I mean, it's
it?
It's something I've got around now. It's under my pillow.
I'm not going to break into your house now knowing it's there. Exactly.
It's right.
It works
there.
Very well. You're going to be. It's going to be a man leaping out dressed as Spider-Man, holding a hammer,
swinging an unfathomably heavy hammer.
It's very much not Thor's hammer, which will disappoint you as the nerd that you are.
Yeah.
You could take one swing with it.
One swing. Well, it better be in the right direction because it's slipping straight out of that hand.
Also, I've got some Bose SoundSport free Truly Wireless Sport headphones.
Right, okay. Yeah,
come on, $155.
Which ones are those? Hold on, let me have a look at the. Okay. Which ones
just
these
after
are?
You can talk of one or two things here. Hang on. Hang on. You can go for the right next door to each other, May 2019, the SoundSport Truly Free Wireless Sport Headphones, living the dream there, Jamie. Or maybe the Philips Azure Elite Steam Iron.
So,
getting out the creases from your Nikes, were you at the time?
Well, I'm constantly on a quest to find the best iron in the world.
I mean, that is a TV
show. I've been
right
through
there.
A lot of irons.
Right.
I've had the ones that come with their own kind of base that you put on that contain like basically a whole bucket full of water that are meant to have very powerful jets.
Yeah, does that work?
No, I've had ones that are just kind of regular but just ridiculously expensive.
Does that work?
No, okay. That one, however, seems to be doing the trick, and that was just a classic kind of like go to best don't.
How much is that?
Yeah.
I've just seen how much it is. Oh, my God.
Look, okay.
How much did you sell Holy Moly for, this guy? The bucks coming in for you.
How much was it?
How much do you think an iron would cost? I'm just going to leave the listeners a moment. Listeners, if you can say out loud, wherever you are now listening to this podcast, how much would you pay for an iron? Say it out loud. Come on. It's more than that. £120! On a fucking iron. On a hot bit of metal.
Oh, dear. So there's that, but it's worth it. It's like Kevin from Grand Design says, you know, spend money on things that you touch with your hands because they are the things that need to work properly, whether it's a loo seat, whether it's a door handle, whether it's an iron. Yeah. The time saved doing T-shirts with that is just worth, it's priceless. Headphones, however.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say that completes the journey perfectly because we started this podcast with Spider-Man and we've ended with Kevin
McCloud
icons.
Well, luckily you've managed to, you've kind of scanned through quite heavily, because if you'd have gone quite slowly, you'd have realised that since the start of the Amazon, that would have easily been at least the ninth pair of headphones that I have bought.
Are you a headphone loser?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
but also, not only am I a headphone loser, I refuse to wear shit headphones.
Right. Is that so, because of you're an ear snob, or because you want to look like
no,
a footballer?
I just like to listen to things properly. What are the best ones?
Because I'm a Bose man through and through.
So those Bose ones, they're for my running. So I've got those Bose ones, which are the ones that you see everybody wear on the tube.
Those are the QC3s, mate.
The QC3s, they are fantastic.
Yeah.
I've got those ones for running. So
because they get sweaty though.
No, they're great, but they also link into my Garmin. Wirelessly, which the Garmin has Spotify on it, so I don't need to carry a phone.
Yes.
So everything I like to be kind of clean and minimal. So it means that I don't have to have a phone whilst I'm running. So, but I went through a stage of Shure in-ear headphones, basically the ones that you would see Madonna or Dave Grohl wear on stage. Mm-hmm. I went through a stage of wearing
monitor headphones.
Yeah, I went through a stage of wearing those just as headphones because they sound so good. Will my wife listen to this? No, she won't. They cost about £260 a pair. And one particularly bad year for me, I lost 5 pairs of those in 1 year.
Hang on. What year was that?
No, I stopped buying them.
You didn't get them on Amazon?
I stopped buying them on Amazon because I knew that one day this would happen. There is a DJ supply shop just on the back of Tottenham Court Road where they know me by name.
Really?
Because I've bought so many pairs of these headphones.
They're the ones nicking them off.
They make me...
They follow you.
I'm so embarrassed of that.
Oh, my God. So you go back in, they're like, oh, Jamie.
There was. I went in 3 days after buying a pair once.
What? Where did you lose them?
Fuck knows.
You're kidding me?
Nope.
£260 in-ear.
Yeah, it's awful.
Proper
it's
monitor.
Disgusting.
You're a disgusting person.
It is disgusting.
This is the worst end to a podcast ever.
I mean...
I hate you.
I'm more embarrassed about that than I'm thankful that you just went past the anal beads because...
Listen, Jamie, thank you so much. This has been lovely because I didn't know you that well before I did this. I feel like I really know you now. What a brilliant walk
been,
through your life.
That's been so much fun.
Thank you so much for coming on. And everyone can find you on all the usual. You're on the Twitters, right? Just search Jamie
East. Yeah.
Thanks, Jamie. Thank you very much for coming by.
Cheers, mate.
That was great.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Give us a rate and a review and all that business. And give us a follow on Twitter as well, please, at ToasterPod. That's all your toaster admin you've got to do. And if you've got any good ones as well, go back and have a look through your Amazon purchase history. If you have got any good ones, we'd love to hear them. Just drop us a tweet at ToasterPod. And you'll see at the moment we've got about 8 followers, so you can be a very early adopter. Thanks very much. See you soon.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont, and this is Crime Club, the podcast where I talk to people who have done terrible, terrible things, either immoral or illegal, ideally both.
Oh, fucking hell, mate.
That's Crime Club.
Oi, oi, oi.
It's fucking Crime Club.
GreatBigOwl.com.